53 minutes. Jesus is God. We have talked about the oneness of Jesus and God in contrast to the oneness of the saints. Now I would like to seal the controversy that Jesus is God. A burden was placed on my heart and I placed a petition before God. I asked Him, how can this thing be? How can so many people who diligently seek Your face, who study Your word regularly and with great intensity, not know who You are? I was led to the scripture, Matthew 16:15-17. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Here I realized that even the disciples, who were extremely close to Jesus, did not know who Jesus was. Only Peter came to this realization. The question was asked of all the disciples, but only Peter answered. Furthermore, Jesus made it quite clear that Peter could not possibly have come to this understanding through his powers of reason. The answer to the question of who is Jesus could only be acquired through a revelation from God. I was then led to the scripture, Job 11:7-8. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? This further convicted me that men cannot figure out who Jesus is through powers of reason alone. I was later led to the following scripture, Matthew 11:25-27. 25 At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. 26 Even so, farther, for so it seemed good in thy sight. 27 All things have been delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth the Son, save the Father. Neither doth any know the Father, save the Son, any to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal him. Herman's notes. Please note, this is the Greek word used for know here is ginosko, and it means to understand completely. This is not the same as oida, which means to have knowledge of. Ginosko is used in Matthew 1:25 and Luke 1:34, referring to sexual relations. This knowing, then, is not just intellectual or taking in knowledge, but a personal, intimate understanding. If you know Jesus, you already know everything you need to know about God in order to acquire salvation. John 14:7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Here Jesus makes it clear there is a sense of knowing God and knowing Jesus which no man has unless Jesus reveals it to them. Clearly, at the point of salvation, when we were deep in our sins and just beginning to seek God in the most rudimentary sense of being obedient to His word, Jesus had not yet revealed this type of knowledge of God to us. Most Christians at the point of salvation, like the thief on the cross, know very little about what one writer calls the ontological or metaphysical nature of God, which describes God's relationship to the universe. James Hastings, Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics. At the point of salvation, most Christians know very little about how Jesus is the image of an invisible God or the image of someone who has no shape nor form, or how God can be omnipresent, or how there can be one God in three persons, without polytheism. We have touched on some things in our discussion of oneness, equality and sameness. Other things we will not, and some things we cannot touch. The Holy Spirit will reveal them unto us. Some knowledge is revealed to us later on down the line when we are better able to bear it. John 16:12-13. 12 I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. 13 Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. What new Christians are required to know is what Hastings refers to as the economic nature of God, which is God's relationship to mankind. Sometimes people use terms like accurate knowing in John 17:3. Turn with me there, and this is life eternal, that they should know Thee the only true God, and Him whom Thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. Some make a deliberate attempt to cause the text to read, and this is life eternal, that they should accurately know Thee the only true God, and Him whom Thou didst send, even Jesus Christ. This insertion of accurate carries with it the sense of knowing God in an ontological sense, His relationship to the universe. In contrast, the text is designed to mean that you must know the relational nature of God, that is His relationship to mankind. You must know God in the sense that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Therefore, this tells us that knowing God's relationship to the universe is not a criteria for salvation. This knowledge comes after diligently seeking him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Because this is true, when we are confronted with scriptures that on the surface seem to be contradictory, we do not have the luxury of choosing one as truth and the other as error. We are compelled to adopt a way of thinking which makes all scripture accurate. Neither can we accept one and ignore the other. That was a long introduction. Nevertheless, this message will explore the following ideas. A. There is but one God versus there are many gods. B. Jesus is God because 1. Jesus has the same names or titles as God. 2. Paul called Jesus God. 3. John called Jesus God. 4. Thomas called Jesus God. 5. Jesus called himself God. 6. God called Jesus God. 7. Jesus is worshipped as God. 8. Jesus does the things that God alone does. I know that Jesus is God, for the Word says, 1 Peter 3:16, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If by some chance I should miss the mark, then this is what I know, Philippians 3:14-15. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What is the reason for the hope that is in me? Why do I believe that Jesus is God? Isaiah 43:10. No God before nor after me ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Herman's notes. First and foremost, the Bible teaches monotheism, not polytheism. Not henotheism. Henotheism is a form of polytheism which states that there are many gods, but I choose to worship only one, two or whatever number. Generally speaking, isms are what you think, not necessarily what you do. Therefore, to think that there are many who are worthy to be called gods is polytheism. What should the Christian's attitude towards other gods be? Exodus 23:13. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Joshua 23:7. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Deuteronomy 7:25-26:25. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. 26. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. John 17:3. Only true God. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Herman's notes. The term only true God means that if you're not a part of the only true God, then you are a false god which is not a god at all. The text indicates that the recognition of the existence of these other gods should not come out of your mouth, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. 1 Corinthians 8:4. Many are called gods. For as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other god but one. 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many, and lords many, 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is deafened. Herman's notes. This scripture makes it clear that there are many that are called gods in both heaven and earth. This includes angels, men and idols. Yet, We Christians know the truth of the matter is that none of these are gods at all. There is but one God. Then the scripture asks the question, why does not everybody know this obvious truth? Additional information referring to the controversy between there is but one God and there are many gods can be obtained by various other scriptures in a teaching called One God. Now let us address the issue of Jesus is that one God. One Jesus has the same names or titles as God. Why is it important that we assign the proper name or title to Jesus? Names or titles define characteristics of the person whom we assign the name or title to, thus aiding our ability to see the person in a certain light. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Herman's notes. Jesus is called the Everlasting Father. Jesus is called the Mighty God. Who among us would think that there are two or more mighty gods running around the universe like the heroes of the Greco-Roman pantheons? Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Herman's notes. The name Emmanuel means God with us. Here Emmanuel is used to refer to Jesus. Isaiah 8:8. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Herman's notes. Here Emmanuel is used to refer to Jehovah. Matthew 1:23. 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, God with us. Herman's notes. Here again Emmanuel means God with us. Emmanuel is a name given to Jesus and Emmanuel is a name given to Jehovah. Furthermore, men have been known to define Jesus as a God. This definition is clearly false as illustrated by the following scriptures. Revelation 1-2, 8, 11, 17. To who bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. Herman's notes. Jesus is claiming to be the Almighty, a title reserved for Jehovah only. Here Jesus is claiming to be the Alpha and the Omega, or everything again, a title reserved for Jehovah. This claim is supported by the fact that the text is written in red and by the context indicating that Jesus is the speaker. Revelation 22-13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Herman's notes. Here again Jesus is claiming to be the Alpha and the Omega. 2. Paul called Jesus God. 1 Timothy 3:15-16. 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 16. And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Herman's notes. Paul starts 3-16 by telling us that great is the mystery of godliness, or great is the mystery of the nature of God. Then Paul goes on to explain the mystery. God was manifested in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. To add further clarity to this exegesis, this word is confirmed by the following. Colossians 2-9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in the Son of God who took on human form. The essential quality and character of God are wholly present. This was Paul's way of emphasizing that Jesus is not a mere divine man like the heroes of the Greco-Roman pantheons, but truly God the Godhead, or God himself in human form. The literal translation of the Greek word Godhead is deity, so in Christ all the fullness of the deity resides in the flesh. Several Bible versions completely remove this critical word, Godhead. Why? Is the objective to improve the quality of the translation? The word Trinity may not be in the Bible, but the word Godhead most certainly is. Why would anyone remove this word from the Bible? Philippians 2, 5-7. 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, 7 but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Hermann's notes. Paul states that Jesus, who was equal to God, laid aside his mighty power and glory and became man. What power and glory did he lay down? What power? 1. In Matthew 28:18, as Jesus was about to ascend back to heaven, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." 2. Paul informs us in Romans 1:20 that God's eternal power is part of his Godhead. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. 3. This power is in perfect agreement with the Athanasian Creed, which says, "So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty." And yet they are not three almighties but one almighty. What glory! 1. Paul informs us in Romans 2:9 states that in Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 2. The Strong's Concordance definition of Godhead as being God's personality and deity. 3. John tells us in John 5:23 to honor the Son as you honor the Father. 4. Paul tells us in Philippians 2:9-11 that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. 5. These statements from Paul and John are also in perfect agreement with the Athanasian Creed, which says, "The deity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty." Colossians 1:15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Hermann's notes. Paul states that Jesus and God are one in that Jesus is the image of an invisible God, the exact likeness or a perfect copy. This concept of image does not refer to physical attributes, but non-physical attributes. After all, you cannot have physical attributes of something that is not physical or invisible, just as the Bible talks about man being created in the image of God. What attributes do we have of God? To list a few: language, creativity, love, holiness, immortality and freedom. I am sure that you can add a few to this list. What attributes does Jesus have of God? We have already discussed a few: Godhead, personality, deity, almighty, glory, honor. Some that we have not discussed are: life in himself, uncreated, eternal, infinite. I have a teaching on oneness, but I just need to move on. 3. John called Jesus God. John 17:3, "Only true God, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Hermann's notes. The term "only true God" means that if you're not a part of the only true God, then you are a false god, which is not a god at all. There is an abundance of additional scriptures in the Old Testament that support the conclusion that there is always, was, and always will be only one God. John 1:1, "The Word and God are the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Hermann's notes. Here God revealed to us that Jesus was God. "The Word was with God" demonstrates the separateness of Jesus and God. Yet, "The Word was God" indicates the sameness of Jesus and God. John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." 4. Thomas called Jesus God. John 20:28-28, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." 29. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Hermann's notes. Thomas also called Jesus his God. 5. Jesus called himself God. Some might demand that if Jesus is truly Jehovah, then he should have come out and said it plainly himself, rather than have others, Paul, Isaiah and etc., saying it about him. It seems like a strange position to take. Nevertheless, the Jews took a similar position. John 10:23-32-23, "And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch." 24. "Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." 26. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." 29. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. 30 I and my Father are one. 31 Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. 32 Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? 33 The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. 34 Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? 35 If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. 36 Say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest. Because I said, I am the Son of God? Herman's notes. To paraphrase Jesus's response, the reason why I did not tell you that I was the Christ is because I have already told you that I am the Son of God and you wouldn't believe me because you are not my sheep. That explains why you won't believe that I am the Christ. Just so you cannot say that I did not tell you so, let me say something more outrageous. I and the Father are one. Now what are you going to do about that? Their response was, We are going to stone you for claiming to be God. In essence, Jesus said to them, The reason I did not tell you plainly that I am the Christ is because you cannot handle it. Just like now I am telling that I and the Father are one, and guess what? You cannot handle it. Question asked and answered according to the scripture. I have an additional teaching on oneness, which comes from, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. But for now I need to move on. John 8:58 Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Herman's notes. Jesus didn't seek to clarify the Jews' misunderstanding of his previous statements. Instead, he made a new statement that anyone who would not accept that Jesus was God in the flesh could not possibly understand. Before Abraham was, I am. He not only said that he existed before Abraham, but he also was again associating himself with the great I Am statement of Exodus 3-14. This statement could leave no doubt that Jesus was claiming deity in the highest sense of the word. I Am, the ancient Greek phrase, is the same term used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Jesus' day to describe the voice from the burning bush. I Am, meaning I have always been. In using the phrase I Am, Jesus used a clear divine title belonging to Yahweh alone and was interpreted as such by Jesus' listeners. The phrase harbors within itself the most authentic, the most audacious, and the most profound affirmation by Jesus of who he was. The best proof what Jesus meant by claiming to be the I Am is found by seeing the response of his listeners. They took up stones to throw at him. They wanted to stone him for blasphemy, for claiming to be God. This statement was a direct response to the question, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus' response was, Before Abraham was, I am. I am was Jehovah's name forever. Exodus 3:15. This is a straightforward and direct answer. I saw Abraham despite the fact that I am not yet 50 years old, because before Abraham was born, I am existed. The Jews stoned him because he said he existed as I am before Abraham was born. Last but definitely not least of this section on Jesus called himself God. I repeat this verse because this whole message was designed to get to this verse. I repeat, Revelation 1:2, 8, 12-13. I went through a lot of scriptures and you read it on the handout for the sake of speed, but this one you have to see in your Bible for yourself. To who bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. 8 I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. 12 And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and having turned I saw 7 golden candlesticks. 13 And in the midst of the candlesticks one like unto a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about at the breasts with a golden girdle. Herman's notes. Jesus is claiming to be the Almighty, a title reserved for Jehovah only. This claim is supported by the fact that the text is written in red and by the context indicating that Jesus is the speaker. It really does not matter what color the text is written in. Verse 12 and 13 says that John turned to see who was speaking in verse 8, and saw that the speaker was one who looked like Jesus. In short, the speaker was not Jehovah. Nevertheless, the speaker claimed to be the Alpha and the Omega and the Almighty. 6 God called Jesus God. Genesis 1:26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things. It stretcheth forth the heavens alone. It spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Herman's notes. Here God himself says that he created the universe by himself, alone, without any help from anyone. This is in contrast with let us make man, in our image that we just read, or is it? This demands a both and approach. 7. Worship Jesus. Isaiah 42-8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. John 5-23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Philippians 2:9-11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Herman's notes. Here we see that the angels worshiped Jesus. Yet, Exodus 34-14 says, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Therefore, if according to God, the only one worthy of worship is himself, yet it is okay for the angels to worship Jesus, then Jesus must be God. Furthermore, John 5-3 said, honor the Son as you honor the Jehovah. The text did not say honor Jehovah with postratation, but honor the Son as you honor earthly Father. 4. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Malachi 1-6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? John 20-28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Herman's notes. Worship Jesus as God. Thomas worshiped Jesus. Thomas also called Jesus his God. Thomas was an apostle. Jesus did not rebuke Thomas nor refuse his praise, like angels who said, do not worship me, instead worship God. Jesus did the opposite of rebuking Thomas. He praised him, acknowledging that he was Thomas's God. He said, although Thomas only believed after he had seen, some people see and still do not believe. Nevertheless, others will have a greater blessing than Thomas, because they believe that Jesus is their God, despite the fact that they lack the same evidence that Thomas had. Matthew 2:2. Where is he who has been born a king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Herman's notes. The Greek word proskuneo means to kiss the hand, bow down before, show obeisance, to worship. This word occurs 60 times in the Strong's Concordance. Of those 60, 15 are in reference to Jesus, 19 are in reference to God, 19 are to the devil, and 7 are to others. Some Bible translations translate all references of proskuneo to Jesus as obeisance, all references to God are translated to worship, references to the devil are translated to worship, and all references to others are translated to worship except two. In short, all references to anyone except Jesus is translated to worship. This is a formidable attack against giving Jesus his due honor. Revelations 5:13-14 NIV 13. All creatures in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them, were singing. I heard them say, may praise and honor forever and ever be given to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Give them glory and power forever and ever. 14. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Herman's notes. Jesus, the Lamb, and Jehovah are worshipped from the floor. Matthew 28:9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Again, Jesus is worshipped from the floor by men. 8. Jesus does the things that God alone does. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Herman's notes. God forgives sins. Matthew 9:2. And, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Herman's notes. Jesus forgives sins. In conclusion, I have demonstrated that Jesus is God because A. there is but one God versus there are many gods. B. Jesus is God because 1. Jesus has the same names or titles as God. 2. Paul called Jesus God. 3. John called Jesus God. 4. Thomas called Jesus God. 5. Jesus called himself God. 6. God called Jesus God. 7. Jesus is worshipped as God from the floor. 8. Jesus does the things that God alone does.